Okay, good morning. We're going to go ahead and get started. Please make sure your cell phones is on mute if you can, silent. Let me thank everybody for coming. The only missing link is the council president. I'll tell you about him in 1 second. But my name is Councilman Gaffin. I'm allowing my colleagues to introduce themselves, and we'll move beyond this point. We'll start to the left.
Leanna Cumber, District 5.
Good morning, Aaron Bowman, District 3.
And thank you, everybody, for coming. I remember when the council president talked about a special committee downtown. I think one of his charges was, and he promised us he'll be at the next meeting, but one of his charges was for us to work together to entertain proposals to work directly with DIA and come up with some faster solutions so we can continue to move downtown forward. So the next several meetings that we're going to have, we're going to be discussing our own plan as well as working with the council president and with DIA so we can try to move downtown. So I'm excited about this opportunity. I'm excited because one of the things that we are getting in my office is a lot of individuals say they want to present. We thought it was not fair today to have anybody present. I want to hear from my colleagues and see what they some of the ideas that they may have today. And I think at the end of this meeting, we'll come up with some neutral days that we can meet to try to accomplish a little more. We do have DIA to at some point in the next 5 minutes to come up and present. Somehow, and no disrespect from her, we double booked her this morning. And so, unfortunately, Ms. Borer can't be two places at one time, so she'll speak at the beginning, and then I think we'll then be able to carry the dialogue about our next charge after that there. But before we move forward, I'm going to have my colleagues to say a couple words about this special committee, and we'll go from there. I'm always start to the left, if y'all don't mind.
Thank you, and thank you, Councilmember Gaffney. So I'm excited to be on this special committee. I think it's really important that we laser focus and really hone in on downtown and what we want and what we want to see in the next 10, 20 years, what we want to see the downtown develop into. So I'm excited to be here, excited to be part of the conversation, and look forward to a lot of productive meetings.
And thank you for that. And my second favorite councilman, you want to kind of
wait a second. Who's? Oh, all right. Thank you, Mr. Gaffney, and thank you for being the chair of this. And I'm too excited to be here. And it's good to see out in the audience who we got. I mean, we got a lot of stakeholders here and a lot of other folks here. And I'll risk. Probably leaving some people out, but obviously Lori Boyer with DIA and Jake with Downtown Vision is here, and I know Build Up Downtown was supposed to be here. There we go. Alan's back there. Then I've got representatives from Haskell back there and representatives from Perry McCall, Brad Glass and Alan Iuso, and Steve is here. So it's great to see all the interest here. I kind of see our mission of not trying to create a new wheel, but really as legislators being able to support all these people on what they're doing. And a couple things I'll mention out to you right now is I know the council president's getting ready to start a strategic plan in November. So I know that's getting ready to come, and that will flow into our budget request for next year legislation. So I think that's really where this committee and we can help the most is what legislation policy changes do you need to get your job done better? And I know Lori knows one of my pet peeves. We'll probably talk about that later. Also, is there change in policy? And then financially, what can we do as a council to give the tools to help develop this downtown, and I like where it's going. So happy to be a part of this, and look forward to your leadership on making this thing come alive.
And thank you for that. And more than that, thank you for inviting so many stockholders in downtown who's willing to utilize their resources to work with the city of Jacksonville to make sure 5 years from now we're going to be proud of this city. And so, in saying that, we'll move forward. I think DIA is going to do a presentation of a downtown vision, and we'll allow her to come up, and we'll hold our comments until after she finishes. She's going to probably have to leave sooner than later. And so, saying that, Ms. Boyer, you want to start off, please?
$1.9 billion. saw about a 30-cent per square foot increase in downtown rents between March and August. That's huge. And very helpful from the standpoint of facilitating future construction projects. So that's my high-level version of where we are today as a baseline. That's not our plan and what we are doing prospectively and how we're implementing in the future. And then if I can just quickly explain the second handout that is going to go to Councilman Bowman's questions regarding dilapidated buildings. We prepared this for you to just tell you where you stand on downtown building maintenance. So Chapter 518 was adopted and incorporated into the ordinance code in the early 2000s. Chapter 518 is specifically downtown building maintenance. That's what it's about. I would say that it is not being strictly enforced. It is a pretty stringent code section. It has a lot of requirements. So, for example, you can't have a storefront glass window that is broken, nor can you have one that has trash and debris behind it. So if you think of the Deloach Furniture Building, for example, on Broad Street, where you can see things behind that, that would be unacceptable. We could cite them for that. They're required to either have blinds or they're required to have draperies. It's a little outdated, the way it's written. I think it could be updated, but you don't need to recreate that. It exists. What the real problem was that we didn't have the carrot. We had the stick, but we didn't have the carrot. When you passed the Downtown Preservation and Revitalization Program last year, and the DIA created a facade grant program in addition to that, those provided the carrot. So I think that from our perspective, we have the incentive programs we need that if we wanted to start enforcing the code compliance side of it, we could, and there's an outlet for a property owner to be able to seek assistance with doing the renovations necessary. This is also the mothballing provisions that were adopted about 5 years ago also play into this because a property owner can also choose to mothball the property, which gives them 3 years before they actually have to implement the upgrades. So that's kind of the tension there between not wanting to force demolition without an opportunity for them to actually restore their building. But I think you already have the tools. I think they might be able to be tweaked. But again, we gave you a handout with a lot of detail about what the current code says so that you can do your own research on that. And we would have nuanced suggestions, but I don't think we have to reinvent anything there. So those are my the two things I wanted to share with you today. And again, when you finally establish your agenda, I can tell you that I've spoken to Councilman Bowman. I do have some areas where I do think legislation and or funding would be valuable to downtown on particular aspects that we're not doing as good a job as we would like to or would like to see accomplished. So I'd love to address that at the right time. And I would also love to address the current plan and vision and what we see happening on various publicly owned property and the order in which we're planning to go through the disposition process and why it takes the amount of time it does and how we work through things. So those are the two things I'd love to talk about when you're ready.
So let me allow my colleagues, y'all have any other questions you want to ask her at this point? Do we want? I'm sorry.
Holly, go first.
You go first.
Great. Thank you. That was great. What, going back to the residential numbers that you were talking about downtown, how, what percentage of that is attributable to the South Bank?
I don't have that with me. I can send it to you. I can tell you that I was going to calculate of the new units coming in right now that are under construction. So I didn't mention that. I mean, we have 500 units under construction right now. Of the under constructions, you know, we have a couple hundred at the Southerly, which is Metro Southeast on the South Bank. And then we have the others that are under construction are Ashley Street Senior Housing and the Dora, which are both on the North Bank. So I would say in most circumstances, as you look at it, it is probably
Yeah, thanks. I was looking at, I was kind of wondering about the occupancy rates and the price points and whether it's, you know, how it compares, how the North Bank and the South Bank compare. And
we have slides on that specifically that show you the rent numbers in each particular property.
Great.
So if you'd like those, email them in advance of the meeting or do it at the next meeting, however you want.
Yeah, if you could email that, that would be great. That'd be helpful. And then my other question, that's not me for the record, is just on the exterior and, you know, I see the, I don't know what page this is, but where it says exterior structures, where it has a picture of the Cowford, said ground floor windows translucent, broken or missing, repaired, second floor or higher, painted black if boarded. Is there, you know, the city of Philadelphia has introduced, back in 2011, they passed a law, and it was really a public safety law and dealt with blight, that it's in the city of Philadelphia, you can't use any vacant structure, has to have windows and doors. You can't use, or you're cited. And I know that they have about 30% compliance. People don't comply, and so they get, you know, the other 70% are getting fined. But just with that 30%, Philadelphia has seen a reduction by $20 million annually in their maintenance. And property values where you have vacant buildings have gone up $2 million a year, or the property values have gone up $2 million. So I'm wondering if this is something you all have looked at for downtown. I think it's a really interesting, plus from a crime perspective. I mean, I understand that second floor windows are less you know, from a crime perspective, being able to see in is less critical, or second floor or higher. But just having, you know, seeing the difference between having something boarded up or painted black and having an actual window. And the last thing I'll say is what Philadelphia has done is said you don't have to file, you don't have to get a renovation permit to do the windows and doors. That they waive that if you're in that way. You know, they're not, you don't kind of put people in a total bind with that. So I was just wondering if that's been a discussion and at all.
Well, so what I would say is I really had not focused on Chapter 518 until Councilman Bowman's question came in. And then reading through it, it was very interesting. And to your point, this is where I'm saying I see nuanced changes. So, for example, I doubt many people are going to put drapes in first floor windows these days. But what the WISs have done on their property across the street here, if you go down, they are boarded, but they are brightly colored different panels. And we also have some on Forsyth where there were murals painted on the boards on the windows. So I think we need to be a little more flexible maybe in terms of what we think of can be used, because there are things that you can do that are better than other alternatives. And so that's where I'm saying there's some nuanced changes we could recommend to this. I do recognize your point that, and so this is my greater issue, one of the things I'm going to recommend, I really feel like we do need to do a better job not only of the building maintenance but of the streetscape maintenance. And whether that is paver repairs or weeding or whatever, and how we work together to accomplish that.
Great, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, Ms. Porter, first of all, congratulations. I mean, some amazing numbers, amazing energy we've got going on here that we've all been waiting for, and I think we're right in the middle of it. So it feels really good, and the opportunities there. So going kind of what Ms. Cumber was asking in a little bit different way, we've always stood behind the number 10,000 residents. Where did that come from? Does that really mean anything? I mean, where did that metric come from? And do we have examples if we get to 10,000, the skies are going to open and life is going to be great, retailers are going to be coming
heaven.
In?
We do. I mean, and there is a fair amount of data in other cities that 10,000 is about the number at which it becomes self-sustaining. You can also talk to retail developers, like talk to Regency, for example. And what they will give you an example of is that's when you start to get enough of a market density that not only restaurants but other retailers will consider it appropriate to locate there. So before that, they're pioneers, they're local people that you're trying to incent and encourage to occupy an area. I think 10,000 is probably a little low for our downtown because our downtown is so spread out and includes two sides of the river. And to Councilwoman Cumber's point, I think you have to look at it somewhat different. I think South Bank and Brooklyn are very close to that density level that you need to have to be self-sustaining. A new business can go in there and be successful today because of the population density we've created. So now the focus needs to be more on those other neighborhoods, all the way from sports and entertainment through La Villa and the portion of Brooklyn between Park and McCoy's. So I think the number probably is 12 to 13 for Jacksonville based on proximity to people won't necessarily consider a grocer in Brooklyn as solving the need for a grocer on the South Bank.
Okay, great. I know you're rushed, but you and I talked a little bit about also the cost of construction and is there a business case for developers on a return investment, what it's costing to renovate or put up new construction and what they can get market rate rent. Is that a problem in downtown or are we still able to entice developers to invest and they're going to get their rent money back to justify the case?
Well, it is definitely a problem in downtown and is the reason we have incentives downtown. However, it is very neighborhood specific in terms of when you look at those rent numbers and the recent rent growth we have seen really helps to offset that need. So depending on where you are, again, I think riverfront locations in Brooklyn and South Bank are probably much less in need of incentives today than if you're looking more in the central core area, Cathedral District, La Villa. They are more challenged because their rents aren't as high that they can generate. So to offset, here's the construction cost, here's the rent you can generate, you're going to have to provide some incentive. Now, rev grants are the typical incentive that we use for that, but that is still a requirement. And going back to our conversation earlier, if you are building in the suburbs where we are incurring, we, the city, or JEA, are incurring the cost of extending roads, water, sewer, new fire stations, and other things to that development, we're essentially incentivizing those two just differently. So in this case, we have those facilities nearby, and but we can't yield as high a rent level.
Okay. And to my colleagues, what Ms. Boyer and I were talking about as far as the Chapter 518 is that I look out my office window at the Fed building, and I've looked at a dilapidated building for with graffiti and weeds growing out of it, the one behind it, too, for almost 7 years now, and we've done nothing. Good news is those buildings are now getting renovated finally. But I think when I came into office 7 years ago, that was the state of downtown. It's not now. And what I would recommend, Ms. Gaffney, is maybe with working with Ms. Boyer and others, that maybe one of the things that this group might want to consider is a review of 518 to make sure it's up to date and to add some sticks and carrots in there as we go along. And one last thing, Ms. Boyer, pocket parks are extremely exciting to me. We don't have any of those. Is there anybody in this city working on developing small little pocket parks where we've got city space?
Well, I have to go to the next committee on parks momentarily. But as part of our plan update, so we're supposed to do a five-year plan update. It's actually going to be 6 years by the time you see it. We hired GAI to do a downtown, one of our tasks was to do a downtown parks inventory and master plan for parks within downtown, and that's exactly what it contains. And in fact, the Parks Department has been talking to the Parks Committee about doing that same thing for the rest of the city and using what we've done as a model. So we definitely have that recommendation. We're looking at one on a piece of property, the first one, and it was in our budget this year, is one in the Cathedral District. There's another one we need in La Villa. We have several, Councilwoman Cumber knows that we've been in conversations with Miles Jack, who wants to sponsor a basketball court, so I've been meeting with Ms. Enns, who I guess is in the other meeting, to talk about the opportunity and where we could locate that. So we're definitely looking at doing that downtown. It does help create that level of excitement. So both the destination park that is the riverfront and then the individual smaller parks within the downtown area that create that sense of place for the neighbors and the residents and the workers who are downtown.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
She has one more question. I got several, but I'll wait and email you, ma'am.
I promise it'll be quick. Thank you, Chair. There's a lot of projects here, but I don't see any schools, any charter schools. I think that once you get if you're looking at 10,000, 13,000 people, having a charter school downtown is going to be critical. Also, if you have a charter school downtown, people are forced to come downtown. And in all cities, you see these urban schools, right? Has there been any discussion about that? Are there any, are there any pieces of property that the city has that we're kind of earmarking for that sort of thing in the core?
So we, DIA, have not earmarked any of the properties that are in our inventory, and we can get into a conversation of which properties are in our inventory versus parks versus JSOs for that. However, I can tell you that I've been working with Jenny Myrick at Cathedral Jacks, and Cathedral District Jacks, and they are very actively recruiting a charter school in the Cathedral District, and looking at the Supervisor of Elections building as a possible location for it, have met with the developer on it. So that's one in the works. I've also had conversations with you about the potential backfill of the Mosh building, and that the residential developers near that would be very interested in seeing that. And Miami has a very interesting model with a combination children's museum and charter school, which allows the charter school to help defray some of the costs of the museum, but also makes it, and this is a real early childhood children's museum. It's not a competitor to Mosh in that sense. So there are things in the works.
Let me thank you for this, and it appeared that downtown is headed in the right direction. What we will do is have a brief discussion. Two things I'm interested in: as you locate all those dilapidated buildings downtown, come back to us the next time so we can have a real conversation. My interest is, if ones don't want to comply, is try to somehow mothball them so we can have development there. Another thing I'm interested in talking about, changing perhaps, if it's okay with you, but at least having a conversation with changes an hour a night from 2 o'clock at night to, and this is a debate going downtown with some of these owners that have clubs and other things they're doing, to about 4 o'clock. So these are some of the things that I want to throw out to my colleagues and to you so we can have real debates in the next 2 to 3 months. And then I will say this, and probably starting the next meeting, we'll have somebody to present perhaps what their future is or what they would like for us to team up with you to do. And so we'll start having presenters at our next meeting. So thank you so much. I'm sorry you got to leave, but it's lots we can discuss right now.
Add the downtown noise regulations to your list. Because they also don't work well in a mixed-use environment. So we know that they're on our to-do list.
Okay.
And you know we have the alcohol one for 50 seats going through right now. So.
Right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So as we move forward, we've got a good 30 more minutes. As we move forward, dilapidated buildings is one of the things that I like to focus on, so I'm glad you brought that to Ms. Bora's attention, because I want to move. I pray that before we leave here, we can have some kind of movement on quite a bit of these buildings that's been sitting here for years. Go ahead and comment on it.
Thank you, Mr. Gaffney, and I think we're all aligned on that. That's good news. The other thing that I wanted to include in that and is also, I think the city has a lot of inventory that we're just sitting on, and I can tell you anecdotally, I get calls from people sometimes going, God, I'd love to have that building, but I can't figure out how to get it. So I think another thing we could do is an inventory of city-owned property that is not of any value to us yet, and maybe I'm using the wrong word, but I would want to almost have fire sales to It's not collecting, it's causing maintenance for us right now. It's not collecting any tax inventory. It's not being used by anybody. And if we're just sitting on a piece of property, an example would be, even though it's not in DIA territory, is the armory. I mean, the armory's been sitting there for years, and we're just letting it sit there. I know there's been some activity on it, but what I would like to do is get an inventory. What does the city own, and do we really need to own it, and how do we get it out to get people to develop it? So I add that to that list.
And thank you for that. I think we hit in direction. You want to add anything to some of the things you want to work on?
You know, I totally agree with Councilmember Bowman on that. And I know that there are different, you know, cities have dealt with it in different ways. And I'm sure Andre Wallace would love to come and talk to how Detroit has done it. And so I think it is important because we do have, not only does the city have inventory, but there's a lot of inventory that we know, you know, when the church sold off, you know, put the 9 blocks on the market, there should be something that's easy for people inside and particularly outside of the city to be able to look at and see what's available and then know where to take those discussions. So I think that would be a great asset.
I don't know if we need to have someone from First Baptist to come and talk about their real estate. But
no, I'm sorry. What I was saying is it'd be nice to have, if you know, as we know properties coming up, to have you know, to have something where someone could go and say, okay, well, I know, you know, DIA's in discussions with, you know, these folks about this you know, this inventory, just so people know what's out there and they know who to talk to about finding out what's out there.
And let me also go back to keeping downtown open. It's been discussion with me and a state representative about doing a J bill for downtown. We still on first base with that, but I wanted to bring that just back to this committee to for us to consider keeping downtown closed downtown instead of 2 o'clock to perhaps whatever number that we decide to come up with, 3:30, 4 o'clock. My reason why, if we're going to be a big-time city and then we need to take a look at that, I heard so many stories about having concerts here and the concerts over at 11:30 to 12:00 and individuals that come here is looking for something to do downtown. And the frustration became when there's nothing to do down here and now they got to go and find something. But we know the whole city is closed now at 2 o'clock, so we need to really evaluate that. I don't think if we don't get it done now, I don't think it's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years. I'm not sure how much that's important to you too, but it's really have a dive deep in it, and we're going to have some owners perhaps going to come and speak in the next couple of meetings about they wish and why they think it may help their business and also spurs growth also and how Miami did it and some of these other bigger cities did it. So in saying that, it's come up with a meeting date, and so we can now start reaching out to the public. Those who want to present, they can call either three of us, and we'll probably let one. We're always going to have one, but we're always going to have DIA to be the main presenter to talk about things we need. Or it may be, like you say, Andre Wallace can be someone else, but I want to have a private presenter to come and talk about their vision and see how we can perhaps implement that and how we're going to move forward. So what date work well for you guys? And we're always going to try to keep it out because I know how busy we are, if possible.
Really think I know my calendar, Councilman Gaffney?
Nope, but I know who knows it. So
that's who knows.
Trust me, I have no idea. That's who.
I think Wednesday. I mean, Wednesdays seem to be
the best day for you.
Yeah, I think Wednesday mornings would be good.
So what we can do, we can look at Wednesday. So we can do it. Y'all think once a month is more than enough time? Because we're just getting started off and we got so many small things that we're trying to accomplish. We want to do it twice. What y'all thoughts?
I'll You know, I'm not one to have meetings to say we had a meeting, so I think once a month is probably a good place to start, and if we need to do ad hoc, or we can always modify it. But yeah, my Wednesdays can look good. They don't right now, but if we establish that in the future, I can probably make that always work.
And it's given me a whole bunch of time to adjust my schedule for Wednesdays also. So we now identify the date, and we'll allow the staff to identify the time. And for those individuals who are interested in, like I say, speaking or presenting at our meetings, make sure you can reach out to my office or my colleague's office, and I'm pretty sure we'll all get together to determine how we're going to move forward with presenters. I'm looking forward for individuals who may have better ideas than we to help move Jacksonville forward. So to my colleagues, and let me close by saying this, if y'all got any other closing comments, the council president texted me 2 seconds ago right before I walked in and said, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it. So you notice I didn't talk about our charge because it's not ours, it's his charge. And he's coming to the next meeting to kind of give us his own personal thoughts on what he wants us to be working on. So, again, thank y'all for coming to this. Y'all got any other closing remarks before we kind of dismiss?
No, great meeting. Thanks.
Thank you, and I'm excited about it. I will not be joining you at 0400 if we extend the hours downtown. But my point is, is that I would have never thought of that. I didn't realize that an issue, but when you describe it, it makes perfect sense. And so I think that's the power of having the group we've got out here and people having our ears and of telling us what we can do to make things better, and that's a great example. But I won't be with you, Councilman Gaffney.
And I won't be here either. But I would tell you this. If we did a J-bill, and understanding what a J-bill for anybody might be listening, we want to talk about carving out a certain area downtown if we decide to keep it open longer. For example, a J-bill, you draw a map. It can be Bay Streets to A. Phillips Randolph to perhaps Laurel Street back down, back towards Jefferson Street, something like that. But and that's not my doing. That's just some conversations that I had with some owners down here looking for us to keep downtown open a little longer. It won't affect the whole city of Jacksonville. It won't affect First Baptist and some of the churches, just a small group, and especially Bay Streets. Because Bay Streets, as we think about downtown 5 or 10 years from now, is probably going to be the busiest streets in the city. So instead of closing that down at 2, we may want to consider that. I remember talking to the Jaguars when it was going through the process with for a season, would they be interested in perhaps, because they're going to have perhaps some kind of entertainment there, if they'll be interested in keeping it open till 4 o'clock, and one of the response was yes. And so we need to take a look at that. So I applaud you guys to take a deep dive. We may not do anything, but I think as we move forward, I want to be able to achieve some measurable things, and that's one of the things I've been asked to do for some of these small businesses downtown. So I don't know if we have anybody want to make some kind of comment. You got anybody fit our speaker card, or we want to just dismiss?
Councilman, I have no speaker cards.
Okay. All right, then, if no other speaker. Yes, ma'am.
Ma'am, the chairman will have to call you to the podium.
That's fine. Let her come up right quick. We got a couple minutes. If you can come up, or can you speak loud, put it that way.
I can speak loud.
That's okay. Say your name again so we can put it on record, if you don't mind.
Something in those buildings that you say are blighted, that you know, that
I'm going to answer the second one. I'm going to allow my counsel, Mr. Bowman, to answer the first one. Yeah, when we start talking about extending the hours, it'll be business owners who already have a business down here who have expressed an interest in perhaps keeping downtown open longer. It'll be individuals that just live in the community, maybe a stockholder who may disagree with that and may come up with some valid points. So we'll divest that. It'll be speakers who have a business, individuals like you who may have your own opinion on why you think it may need to close that tour or keep it open longer. We'll set that up at the appropriate date. That won't be a meeting that will be sprung on nobody. It'll be in the near future, but we'll camp there for probably a whole meeting and at least have the right presenters, and we'll talk about that. And dealing with the immature downtown, I'm going to let one of my colleagues answer that. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Gaffney. I'll touch on, you ask about incentives. Certainly DIA has in their toolbox, and that's why if you saw what DIA geographically covers for job creation, improvements on buildings, historic preservation, those are out there, and so I would encourage you to look at DIA's webpage, and I think you'll see what is possible out there, and go get a meeting with them and talk through it. So that's probably where I would start if it's outside of those areas, and usually I'm talking larger projects, but then the Office of Economic Development for the City of Jacksonville would be able to talk to, like, the Armory. It's not, it's a city property, but it's not in the downtown investment area that's there. But that's where I'd start. And then, as you heard, one thing that we were trying to do is we know what's available today, but is that really serving what we need? So I think partly one of the things we'll do as this group is talk about what incentives are out there to encourage people to come down to downtown and take a risk, but also have a little bit of backing of us to get it open and running. So I would say it's not out of realm of possibility that we may discuss creating some additional programs that give tools just to what you say. But that's where I'd start for right now.
Thank you. Any other questions? And if not, we're going to dismiss. God bless y'all. Have a good day. Bye-bye.